against them. All right, repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what the Word says I can do. It's the living seed of God living in me, and I'll never be the same. Never, never, never will I be the same. God increase, pastor decrease. Give me ears to hear what God has to say. I'm going to walk with power and not let the lost get left. Amen. You guys may be seated. So we're gonna talk about love. Honest people. How many have ever heard someone say something about in your entire life, try to think about your whole life, you've heard someone start talking about love and it irritated you? Are we? Oh, it's three of us. Okay, three of us. Like they go, oh, just love you. Like, you know, it's just kind of like, really, really. And I'm so glad for the rest of you who've never felt that way. And probably the three of us probably need medication. There are time on something that is good. Sometimes can make us mad, right? And even if you're mad and someone tries to make you happy, you get irritated, right? If you're upset about something, you want to be mad. Sometimes people sign up for anger. And you're like, ah, oh, let's joke around. Get away from me. You know, it's like, oh, two people living in there. And so one of the things about with God is love happened. It's a done deal with God. He loved you no matter what, right? So love happened. You are always loved. But we have moments, right, where we feel like, I don't feel like anyone loves me. I don't feel lovely. In fact, I don't feel like giving love. How about that one? Anybody else felt that one? There you go. Okay, now we got a few more people. Now we got some more evil in the house. Yes. Do not want to give love to you. But there's this thing with us, right, where when love takes over, there is nothing we won't do when we truly have that love in our heart. Right? We can take it for family members. We can take it for things in our heart. Like there's no way, you know, if you know, and I have to quit saying this. I know. I'm working on this. When I have to quit saying there are things worth going to prison for. I need to stop saying it. Or dying. Okay? You hit my wife, I'm going to prison. I need to stop saying it. They are. Whoever hits her. Right, we set up these barriers, we set up these things, and then when we react, then we go, I don't know where that came from. Well, if you've been planting it long enough, it's just gonna come out. If this happens to me, this is gonna happen. So again, God says, my children are lost, love happened, I'm gonna send my only begotten son. They're gonna be saved. So the plan God had to deliver mankind was love. Everybody say love. Even though it's Halloween and people are going to be dressed up and they're going to be all masked out, love is still the ultimate answer to everything that we do. Now, John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. John 3:16 is not a billboard sign for football games. It is a verse in the Bible. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Everybody say, not condemned. Okay, so don't walk in it. Don't act like you're condemned. You believe in God. Don't be condemned. Don't be condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So Romans 8:1 picks this up, says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? And so, again, go back to yourself, right? If I do not love myself, it's going to be hard for me to love someone else. If I find areas in my life, and we need to stop saying, this is another thing we probably need to stop saying, is about negative things about ourselves, like, oh man, I just have a bad memory. No, I'm not telling you not to recognize it. I'm telling you to work on it, right? Here, finish some sentences. And again, I'm apologize up front. I've been talking to kindergartners through fifth grade they're the smartest people in the world, 6th, 7th, and 8th. Okay? Smartest people in the world. Finish this sentence for me. The grass is always greener where you water it. Right? What? But y'all are right, right? We've always heard on the other side. But if you just water your side, you ain't got to go over there. I thought it was so cool. I was sharing it with the kids. They're like, hey, do another one. That's all I had. The grass is always greener where you water it. Right? They're in a better family. Water the one you got. Water the body that you got. Water the job that you got. If there's not a better one, water the one that you're in. And that's what God did. God didn't go look for another species of people or creating us. He watered us with his love. He says, I love you. I'm going to water it. I'm going to shower you with my love. I'm going to send my only begotten son that whoever believes and not condemned shall grow in it. He watered that love. And so God didn't wait for the world to turn to him. And that was a good thing about God. He didn't wait for us to get right with him. He loved us before we did it, right? Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't say, well, I'll love them when they do this for me. He goes, I'm loving first. I'm loving first. Now, if you don't believe that that's hard, I'm gonna need to hang out with you. Because to love first isn't always easy. Okay? Now, we're supposed to do it. I'm not saying we're not supposed to, but it's not always easy. If someone does something wrong and it's you know, basically it's a tie, God says love first. Ah, yes. Perfect. He turned toward the world with the most powerful gift of love he could give humanity, and that was his only son. So he gave all that he had. Y'all, the story with the woman with the two mites at the, she gave all she had. It was more than what everybody else had, and even though they had more physically, she gave all more spiritually, right? And so when she gave all that she had, he gave all that he had. God's love with his only produced a world of freedom. And I prayed this verse, but I want to say it again, 1 Peter 2:9, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We belong to God. He brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light, okay? Now, if we've met people who are in the dark, maybe they're in dark about relationships, maybe they're in dark about something, show your love for them instead of condemning them, right? Because if we condemn them, they'll stay dark. In a cave, you yell in there, what do you get back? This is where y'all answer. An echo. Whatever you yell into it is what you're going to get back. You have a cave in somebody's life. Whatever you yell into it, that's what you're going to get back. You sisters, do I need to split y'all up? when you yell into it, that's what you get back. And one of the things that God is teaching, and me for sure. I was telling Steve, like, I just emailed Steve during the week, and I was just like, talking to these teachers, one of these counselors just really set me off. Like, don't be encouraging the kids to believe in themselves. Yeah, I wish she was there. I could have let you sick her. And I'll say this to you, keep telling your kids to believe in themselves. Some of the most basics you think a counselor would say. I just wrote him like, Steve, man, because I'd watched him at the game. I was like, yeah, I need your stuff. I didn't even turn on the TV when I got in my hotel. I just sat there quietly and sent the email. I was like, why in the world would you not want them to? I did it the whole time. I wouldn't stop. I was just like, no, because they need to know that if they don't believe in themselves, someone's coming to try to change their belief about themselves. I said, yes, I did. And when they came to me and asked me about it, I said, yes, I did. I told them to believe in themselves. I told them that they can do anything they put their heart and mind to do it. I told them to listen to their parents. I told them to speak up if something happened to them. I told them to speak up no matter what the adult is. You won't know what else I said. And they were like, we're good. No, let me tell you something else. Well, I told them, if anybody touches you the wrong way, you use your voice. If you know they're touching somebody else, you use your voice. They're not going to invite me back. That's okay. But I was thinking about all of our kids and all of our grandkids. someone to tell them what they can't be and what they can't believe. And I was like, no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. And I think when we know God loves us, that's so powerful, is to let the love of God take over us. We'll do anything. I know I'm blessed. I know I'm healed because of God's love. Our children know we're going to take care of them because they know we love them. Even when we're mad at them, they know we love them. So it says it's an intentional. God's love was so intentional that it brought us out of darkness and into a marvelous light. We are equipped with that exact same light that can break the darkness of situations. Now, just think about it. If you got someone or even yourself, you're in a dark situation, you can. Have you ever seen somebody's room? You tell them to get outside their room so they can see how messy it is. Because if you're in it, you can't see how messy it is. And so that's a prayer. It's like, I pray for my child to step outside of themselves so they can see how messy it is. Like, those are a pair of things that are hanging over there. And even so, when we go to that, gosh, I tell you, I got to do this right. This first grader, right? Jefferson, second grade? You looked in the air, my Lord. And then with kindergarten, this first grader came to me after I finished speaking, and she came to me and she goes, I was giving them a chance to ask questions. I don't know why I do this, but she goes, she came up there, she grabbed the mic out of my hand. She goes, you are a preacher. I said, why do you say, I mean, what makes you say that? She goes, it's because you speak with confidence. She says, you talk like you know what you're talking about. And my mom told me somebody was going to talk to me like they know what they're talking about. I didn't say Jesus wants. I didn't say God wants. So they're ready to receive something there. And I was like, and I said, yeah, well, since you brought it up, yeah. Anybody else? The school was a Muslim school. Yay, game on. Game on. Game on. Let's play. You can see the teachers was like, they did not, they froze. It was only 500 of them in there at that time. So, and it was so cool for her. She goes, I know it. She walked off and sat back down. Send them in there by faith. Send them with your love, that they're not going to fall into any trap. They're going to fall in love with you and what you're sending them with. Okay? Got to do it. We got to do it. We don't sit there and follow them all the way around. But when God pulls something up in your heart, I never forget that. There's some more. I'll tell you later. But let me read this verse. Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39. Jesus declared, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. How many of y'all get along with your neighbors? Get along with your neighbors? Pretty good with your neighbors. But who's you? Paul. I love Paul. Paul, not me. Just give us some time. You and I will get there one day. But he says, love with all your heart and with all your mind. Some of us, our hearts get really broken because we love with everything we got. That's why it hurts so much, right? That's why it hurts so much. We love hard, you know? We love hard. And if something goes down, that it's a heartbreak. It's a lasting heartbreak. There's a, you know, like that. God loves hard. Can you imagine when he looked at the cross and he says, when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God had turned his back on his son so he could die for us. He loved him enough to turn so that he can bring deliverance. I said I was going to beat them. He delivered us through love. Your love brings deliverance, not your argument, not your opinion. It's God has given us love. So God has called us to love with all of our heart. It releases compassion through us to love everyone around us. And that takes, you know, we have to work on that, right? I have to fall in love with God, fall in love with that compassion so I can love everyone around us, and even said, because if not, we'll start to question ourselves. Steve said that to me this morning. Don't question yourself. Don't question yourself, because that's what I start to think. Like with this person challenging me, I thought, well, maybe I didn't say it right. Maybe I said it wrong. But then, like, no. But he said, don't question yourself. Sometimes we question our faith. We question whether God loves us. Don't question yourself. You read it. God loves you. That's it. Don't question yourself. But we have to live off of one another. We have to encourage one another. And even, I mean to say thank you guys for your prayers, because I didn't sound like this the entire week. I didn't start sounding like this till yesterday. I was loud. The love of God is too big to withhold. So if we are not giving love to others, we are not fully walking in the love that God gave us. It's too big to withhold. That means I got to love you. I got to reach out. I got to place that. And I got to stretch myself to give out love. Love is probably the strongest thing that you can do. Most people think that it is weak. It takes a lot of strength to love. A lot of strength. And it's worth it, by the way. It's worth it. It takes strong people to give love. Love with all and leave nothing for the enemy to use to say, remember when, because we will forgive wrongs like God forgave our wrongs. So here's the angle. The angle. If God was taking a picture of you, God the Father is love. God the Son came. God the Holy Spirit stayed. So God the Father loved us. He sent his Son, Jesus. God the Son came. God the Holy Spirit stayed. Who's with us? He wanted us to have it whirl around. He wanted to say, from here, I want to deliver you. From here, I want to bring you. And Eve was confronted by this, right? What, y'all remember what the serpent said to Eve? Okay, I'll tell you. Thank you. He said, did God really say? So he was trying to say that God was withholding something from Eve. Because then he threatened and said, he knows that when you eat of the fruit, you'll be like him. So his deal was, Satan was doing the same thing he did in heaven. He was kicked out of heaven because he was trying to be like God. The same thing he tells you, he says, well, God's just trying to keep stuff from you. So he really doesn't love you. He's just trying to keep things from you. So he wants you to rebel with him. And that's what he got Eve with. Most of the kids say that, you just don't want me to have any. Exactly. See, that's not a trick one. That's not where you water it. Y'all don't trust me anymore. I just realized that. Okay. They'll say that. You don't know what it's like. You don't know. You just don't want me to have a good time. You just don't know. I don't want you to die. I don't want you to hurt yourself. I don't want you to get in something that you can't get out of. That's what I don't want. So yeah, I'm going to speak up to protect you because I love you to protect you. If I really love you, I'm going to speak up and protect you. If I didn't love you, I didn't care what you do. How many of y'all asked the neighbor's kids to quit playing in the street when the cars are coming? No, some of you don't. But if your kid is out there and the car's coming, you're like, get out of the street. Neighbor's kid, huh? He'll get another friend. He'll get another friend, right? Maybe you did. Maybe back in the day when everybody cared about everybody's kids, maybe. But you know, you look at that, huh? There's mine. But God had to care about all these kids, right? All of us. And he had to make sure that we were all taken care of. Looking at that part of when you show that compassion, it may bring tears, it may bring anger, it may bring a fire out of you, okay? And it's not because you don't have love in you, it's because that's the compassion God gave you. When Jesus started bringing that whip out and he started knocking over those tables, that was compassion. Do not defile the house of God. Do not defile the place of God. When you really care about yourself, you'll put yourself through some things to reach some things. We will. We don't. And this is proof we don't have to eat. Because when something really happens, especially with our kids, we've gone some nights. Because the compassion of it will keep you up. Or the compassion of that. Now listen, I'm not telling you not to eat. That's in January. When we fast together. I am telling you that there is no need greater than the one that you have to give love. Nothing is bigger than that. And when you show that love, that compassion, it is so powerful. Greater than what's consuming the people you love. And we want to bring them out and show them that deliverance, that guidance, and that part of it, okay? So listen, he got in Eve's face. He was telling her that did God really say? So you can't say Eve didn't know because he wouldn't have been asking her, did God really say? If she didn't know what God had said. right? Just that sidebar, our derby, put it off to the side. She knew, so he argued with it. Did God really say, don't touch the tree? And he didn't say you can touch it, he said you can eat it. So then he was trying to mess with the character of God. Think about God's love. He said, if I can get you out of the picture, if I can get you to think God has a bad picture of you, I can take you out of focus with God. If I can get you out of focus, I can get you out of the frame, you'll feel like God don't care about you, right? And that's the one part that we have to do. And listen, we're fighting for a generation. I think there's a generation between ours and the next one that is really missing out on God in church. That they won't even go. They've never even been. And so we have to get out there and show the love of God, that there is compassion that brings forth salvation throughout the entire heart. Listen to this, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 through 21. It says, we love because he first loved us. So 1 John 4, 19 gives us the opening sentence. We love because he first loved us. He loved us first. That's how we love. And what is the compassion about it? God didn't wait for us to get better. He did better before we got better. He gave his best before we did our best. And said before that, he says, we love because we first love. Now, if anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. So if you love God, you also need to love your brother. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Right? And so it's a quick fix. God, forgive me for not loving. Forgive me. I was angry. I was mad. Now, after you say forgive me, the next statement, God help me. Because I'm going to need some help with that. He said love first. Give it first. Verse 21, and we have this commandment from him. Whoever loves God must love his brother as well. So if I love God, I also need to love you. I can't say I love God and hate people. That doesn't work that way, right? And so the part of it is that where we have to get that. So God established a chain of command. He says, I love first. I love you because he first loved us. He says, establish a chain of command. You go and love first. Whatever your situation is, love first. Toughest things to do is know that you're into it with someone and someone's really frustrated you and God says, love them anyway. That's one of those hard parts. That's one of those parts where we can't pick and choose the Bible that we love. You want to find out whether or not a man wrote the Bible, read Matthew chapter 5, verse 40 through 45, and you'll realize no man wrote that. Nobody writes, bless those who curse you. Nope. That don't come from a man. That comes from the Spirit of God. Render good for evil. Someone's doing evil to you, give them something good. That is a spiritual writing where God did that. So he established a chain of command that he first and he was the first to love us when we were in a loveless state, and showing us that real love will love first without the possibility of being loved back. It's tough. Like, you do something for someone or you help someone. I get into this at HEB a lot. If I, you know, like if I see someone struggling with their basket, or they put all the groceries in, and, you know, so they don't have to take the basket back, I'll get it. And I had a lady go, I don't need you to touch my basket. And she's right. There wasn't a need. I said, I was just gonna help you. I know you don't need me to help. I was just gonna help. And therefore, I'll leave you with your basket. Because, you know, the minute you go. Now, if we'd have rewind, caught me some years, that would have gone totally different. You know what I mean? Oh, I know you don't need me with your basket. Now let's slang all your groceries out. And I'm in the parking lot, just throwing all your stuff on it. I know, just bad, just thinking. And so sometimes we want people to be appreciative of what we show in love. Sometimes we just need to just do it because we know it's appreciating, it's from God. Sometimes you need to do it, whether anybody else responds or not, say, God, I'm obeying you, and that's it. And whether they say thank you, whether they say okay, whether they cuss me out, no matter what, I did it because you told me to. And I'll still offer to get bags and baskets, because something about showing somebody some compassion, showing somebody that there's help out there, showing them that helps them get further along in their going. The love of God is unselfish, and no one can keep it for themselves. And whenever love isn't given, it isn't the love of God. It is the love of self. Now, I just talked to y'all about people need to have self-love, have love for themselves, love themselves. But when you have self-love or selfish love, that's a love that you take away that you should be giving out, right? And so when you become selfish, that's where you will take and withhold love. Self-love gives love, right? Because you learn how to be yourself. This form of love for self isn't godly. It is idolatry and doesn't please God at all. I'm not going to, but here's this one. Like, I know no one's ever said it, but I'm going to say it out loud. Y'all just keep your head down like you never said it. I'm not going to put myself in that situation. And there's those times where God may be calling you to a place, and not to get you in a trap, but to call you to a place so that you can show the love he's given you. So sometimes we need a miracle. God comes sometimes ask us to be a miracle. And there are some people that it is a miracle if you could love them or show them love. Absolute miracle. I love it, Paula. I love it. Sister right there, like, whoa. And it is. He said, I need you to go be a miracle around other people. And it could be simple as just show them love. All right? John chapter 13, verse 34 through 35. A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you also must love one another. He said it twice. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, right? So I can say I'm a preacher, I can say I'm a pastor, I can say I read my Bible, but if I can't show love for someone, it is not witnessing to anyone. It's just not. It's just not. It just really isn't. And I can say it all day long. Oh, I sit on the front row. I got all these scriptures. I got all this stuff. I got my stuff. I got my papers. If I can't love other people, I don't look like one of God's. That's a tough place, right? Tough place. And God said, yeah, I don't want your credentials. I want your heart. Anybody can have a credential. Anyone can walk around with a Bible. Can you live it? As an unknown believer is one that is unwilling to be known for showing love for a brother. For a brother. Now, are you going to get along with everybody? Absolutely not. You're not going to get along with everybody. You're not going to go along with everybody, but you are called to love everyone. Awesome. I will say amen to myself. The love of God wasn't sloppy. It was very much intentional and aligned with the purity of his word. God love with a universal strength that allowed us to feel love even when being corrected and directed and, of course, affection. How many of you ever had a teacher in school? When you were in school, it was the worst teacher and the one you hated the most. As you got older down the road, you realized that was the one that cared about you the most. It was that hard one. It was that one coach that made you practice in the cold and wouldn't let you wear sleeves. You used to have thoughts of killing him. Wait till he turns his back, I'm gonna throw a baseball right at his head. And I had issues. But then I thought, that was the one that made me my best. He would not let me settle for less. He wouldn't send me. I was telling Ms. Pamela and Pastor Donnie this morning. This little at the end of one of the speeches, the picture on there with the little kids on there with me on Facebook. He said, "Sign my shoes," and I was like, "Sign your the stinkiest pair of shoes." And he says, "Sign them." He says, "Because every time I get dressed, I want to know and look and see your name that I heard a message that's going to help my day." Yeah. Sign my phone, because every time I pick it up, I want to know, I want to look at something good. I don't want to be in here looking at something bad. Please sign the back of my phone. Y'all, I was like, what? And they were like, give me your signature. I sat there for 45 minutes taking pictures and signing stuff. And they said, I want to remember what you said. So if I see your name, it's going to help me remember what you said. I was like, and here I am mad about the one crazy person when the kids are calling out. In that particular school, there were sixth graders with ankle monitors on. I didn't even know you could do that. They committed so many. I didn't even know that was possible. He says, I need to get a picture of you because I finally am alive today. And they were just taking pictures. It was like paparazzi. And he's like, how's my hair? Let's get it. Again, you guys prayed, God sent, and then there's a deliverance. It's within us all. It's within us all. And I almost started crying as I was signing, like, you know, because I'm thinking this ain't valuable. They go, you famous? I go, no. To me, you are. To me, you are. Let God sign off on your life. Will you let God sign off on your day? Let him sign off on Monday. Before you wake up, it's Monday. It's God sign off. Oh, no, God, I heard that you love me. I'm good. Read the name. Right? That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. If my scribble can make a kid get up and choose not to do drugs, not to be in gangs, choose that this ankle monitor is going to be off and I'm going to be a better person, I'll show. If my name can do that, gosh, think about what the name of Jesus can do. I mean, just think about the name of Jesus and be able to do it. So we are known for loving one another when we are willing to show the full circle of God's love. And that's what they said. They said, we could tell you love us. We could tell you love. That group, I walked into the stands twice to go after a kid during the speech. Now I wasn't going to fight him. Yeah, I don't like the way y'all looking at me. But he wasn't listening. He was disrupting everybody else. And I said, say, man, you think I came down here just to watch you? And he was one of the ones that came down. He came down. And listen, I think God's helping us grow, but we got to have love and compassion. Now, I say that, y'all, and it is work for me to. It's not that I don't have love. It worked to show it. Because there are times I just think people don't appreciate it. And it's hard to keep showing something people don't appreciate. Okay? So we're good. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And this is one that we all may know. Ms. Selby, will you do me a huge, huge favor? Will you go into the kitchen area for me? Yes. You're Selby, right? I know, yeah, that's what they call it. And yeah. And then heat up. You'll see it in there. Okay. Did you not see how she looked up like? Ain't nobody else in this country named Selby. You're the only one in the world. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Light, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, right? And it really is the greatest of these with love. Now, I'm not telling you have to go around hugging on everybody, kissing everybody. That love comes in different forms, right? Love comes in honesty. Like, sometimes you have to just be flat out, straight up honest. That's love. If you say I'm in danger and you don't tell me, I'm going to be upset with you. That's the love. That's the part that I need to have. Real godly love means to dethrone yourself and elevate others in a time where people are trying to self-medicate with self-love. God tells us to give love in order to feel love. So God does differently, right? You want to be blessed financially? Give. Right? You want to be forgiven? Go forgive others. You want to overcome hurt? Go help. It is never to be isolated and take it all upon yourself. God has called us to give it out. And that's what he did. He gave it out to each and every one of us. So he gave it out and then wanted to share that compassion with it. And so even in these times where we're looking at and even getting into places where we are, make sure that you can give that love back to you. And not ever, I tell you what, the people that brought me to church no longer weren't the ones that stayed the whole time. They brought me, but I stayed because God kept me. the other people just, you know, that was their, and whatever reason, whatever they left, that's fine. But God will keep you where he brings you, right? Regardless of the rest of it. Okay, last sentence over there, okay? Love hungers to contribute to the needs of others. Needs of others, right? You guys ever been told by a well-meaning older adult, you spoil your kids too much? Ever been told that? You spoil your kids? I've never heard that because apparently I didn't show that. But I'm pretty sure Pastor Rita has heard it. And you want to, and I don't think I would have responded properly anyway. Okay? Okay, I know I wouldn't. Paula. I'd say, yo mama, you know, just something like that. It'd have been something crazy. And let me tell you something. You can never love your kid too much. Okay? Now, you can miss out on not, if you love them, that means you'll discipline them. That's what love is. You can't just sit there and hug them and show so much compassion to them. Oh, you ruined them. You're ruined. Now, I've seen them where they're not loved. Seen them where they're not loved. And it was so cool that this wasn't cool. At the end of this one where my twin's kid went to school, all of his kids, I was at that school, and I finished speaking, and this little girl came up to me, and they don't want you to get too deep in there, because kindergartners, they don't want you to get too deep about drugs and how to use needles. First of all, you want to encourage them anyway. But the little fifth grader came up to me, and she goes, "Man, thank you, I need it." She's hugging me. She goes, "My dad died from drugs last year." She's fifth grade. He OD'd. She said, "I didn't think anybody had this same situation." Y'all just give your, whatever words you have, give it. Give it. It's like they're waiting. I mean, she was crying. She didn't care who saw. She didn't care what was looking. She goes, "In fifth grade, I needed to hear this so I can have a better life. Because I can get up from here." So we can get up from here. God loves us, so we can get up. Amen? And all right, you guys bow your heads. You've been fantastic. Father, we just pray. We thank you, Lord, that where you put us, we've been made and called to such a time as this. Help us to show love. We got people at home, in our homes, Lord, that need to hear us say, "I love you. I appreciate you, all that you do. I want to be verbal and vocal about letting you know how much I love you. I want to give you that gift." And God has just put on my heart to have this compassion with you and for you. And I just believe that God is going to grow us and strengthen us in all that we do. Lord, help us when our words come out of our mouth. Let us have a tone of love. Let our tone be recognized as loving. And Lord, that we may bless you and honor you, that they'll see that compassion. And Father, we just give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, before them kids come over here, she got so much candy over there. I knew she was saving a bunch of money for it. You go take what you want. I don't care how chocolate it is. You take it, all right? And I got some queso and juice back there for you as well. Love you guys, and you're dismissed. Go Cowboys. All right.